Good morning to you all. When you were a kid, there were probably a lot of small life lessons or phrases that your parents taught you. Basic life lessons that you've hopefully been practicing ever since. Things like, look both ways before crossing the street. Or, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Maybe you remember sitting at the dinner table as a kid, and maybe on more than one occasion, your parents telling you, eat your vegetables. There are probably two more phrases that you could add to that list of small life lessons and phrases, and they're two very important ones. They are please and thank you. As a child, you're taught that if you want something, you're not supposed to say, I want that, or give me that, but instead to say, please, may I have that. They're both phrases that we use all the time that hopefully everybody learns to use often. They're especially valuable phrases when Christians talk to God. And for our sermon study this morning, we have an account from the life of Jesus where a group of men who were in a very bad situation came to ask for help from the Savior. But only one of them came back to say thank you. We read this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now it happened as he went, that is Jesus, to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. This is the word of God. Now, when this account takes place, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. He was on his way to be betrayed. He was on his way to be arrested, to be illegally tried, to be publicly executed, and to die on a cross to pay for the sins of the entire world. But even though Jesus was a man on a mission, that didn't mean that he didn't have time to stop and to help some people who perhaps needed his help the most. And of all the people in the world who might need the physical gift of healing, these 10 men who met Jesus were perhaps among the people who did need physical healing the most. What these men had wasn't the flu, it wasn't bronchitis, it wasn't strep throat, it wasn't pneumonia, it wasn't even cancer. Back around the time of the first century when Jesus lived, leprosy was a disease that was certain to kill you. It had no known cure at the time. It was just about the worst thing that a person could be diagnosed with. Now, leprosy was a disease that started out as different patches all around your body where you would lose sensitivity to temperature and to pain. And this meant that if you got any kind of wound or sore on you, chances are that you wouldn't notice it. Now, if you combine this with the poor sanitation of the first century, that meant that it was very easy for these sores and these wounds to get infected. And as leprosy spread across your entire body, it eventually led to extensive limb damage, led to severe infections, and finally it meant that the person who came down with leprosy would ultimately die. Leprosy was a disease that was guaranteed to kill you, and it was sure to do it both slowly and to do it painfully. And besides the physical side of the disease of leprosy was especially disastrous for the Jewish people. according to the Old Testament laws given by Moses to the people of Israel, any person who contracted leprosy had to be removed from the rest of society and go live outside the city with other people who had leprosy. So if you came down with leprosy, that meant that you had to leave your family if they hadn't already been infected with leprosy too. It meant that you had to give up your job and that you had no way of making a living. It meant that you had to leave society behind, all of your friends, the entire life that you had known up to that point. As far as your spiritual life went, that meant that you couldn't go to the temple to worship, and that you were labeled by the priests and by society in general as an unclean person. This disease was something that took a person's life and turned it entirely upside down. It took everything away from a person until the only thing that they had left to look forward to was to die. And that was the situation that these 10 men were in who approached Jesus. And the thing is, was that they couldn't even approach him. Because they were unclean people, they had to stand a distance away and shout at Jesus to get his attention. These men knew that Jesus was their only hope. He was the only chance that any of them had of living anything close to a normal life. Now, by this time in Jesus' ministry and preaching, people had started to take notice of him. All around Israel and Judea, Jesus had traveled and he had performed many, many miracles of healing. He had given blind people their sight back. He had made it so that crippled people could walk again. He had ordered demons to come out of people who were possessed. And by the time that Jesus' earthly ministry was done, he would have even raised 3 people from the dead, including one person who had even been dead for 4 days. So it's not hard to see how Jesus' reputation preceded him wherever he went, and how he came to be known as kind of a celebrity around Israel and Judea. These 10 men with leprosy knew that if there was anyone who was able to heal them, who was able to give them their lives back, that it was going to be Jesus. What they were asking for wasn't any small thing. Like I mentioned before, at the time of the first century, around the time when Jesus lived, there was no known cure for leprosy. Outside of a literal miracle, all these 10 men were guaranteed to die. However, they had confidence that Jesus was able to do the impossible. They knew that nothing was too big to ask from him. Is there anything in our lives that we think is too big for God to handle? Have any of you ever thought to yourselves, I know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or with God, nothing is impossible. What I'm going through right now is really impossible to fix. There's no way that I can get out of this. God can't, or he won't, make this happen for me. So there's no point in me even asking. Or maybe it's the other way around. Have you ever thought of something in your life as being so little or being so insignificant that you didn't even want to waste your breath or to bother God or take up his time by asking for it in prayer? The overall point that I'm trying to make is that there is nothing too big for our God to handle, and that we shouldn't hesitate to ask him for anything. Our God is the God who created the entire world and everything in it. And besides making everything in the entire world, he made every living being right down to the smallest cell and to the smallest atom. And that's the same God that is able to do anything for you. And even more than that, he wants you to ask for anything. Are you struggling with money? Are things not going well with your family, in your love life, with your friends? It doesn't matter whether you think your problem is a small problem or a big problem, or whether it's embarrassing to think about, or whether it's something that you've been praying about for a long time and God still hasn't given you yet. God still wants you to ask him for it because he loves you because he cares about you. And the greatest thing that God has done for any of us is something that we're not even able to see. Even better than any possessions, better than any amount of money, better than any family, any friends, anything in the entire world, is the forgiveness that we have with God through our Savior Jesus Christ. Greater than any problem that we could have, our sin is the burden that we cannot get rid of ourselves. It is the disease that we cannot cure ourselves from. Leprosy was a disease that you couldn't get rid of, but leprosy was only a disease that could kill you physically. Sin is a disease that also kills the soul. Sin is a disease that separates you from God, so that when your body dies, it means that both your body and your soul are left to suffer and die forever in hell. When Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins, he made it so that we never have to feel what hell is like. He took away our sins, and he made it so that we can ask God directly through prayer for forgiveness for our sins, and we can know, we can be assured that that is something that God will always give us because of what Jesus has done for us. But that assurance isn't something that we can have for everything that we ask for in life. God does want us to ask for everything, but that doesn't mean that he's going to give us everything that we ask for. Sometimes when you pray to God for something, his answer to your prayer is, "No, that's not my plan for your life. I have something different in mind." Other times the answer is, "I'm going to give you what you want, but I'm not going to give it to you right now." But no matter what answer God gives us to our prayers, we know that his will is best for us. Better than we even know ourselves, our God knows exactly what we need for our daily walk in life and our daily walk with him. God knows exactly what each of us needs. And he tells us as much in James 1:17, where he says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Every single good thing that we have in our lives comes from our Heavenly Father, even if what God does give us doesn't seem very good to us at the time. But no matter what God decides to give us, we ought to give thanks for what he does send to us, because we know that it is all part of his plan for us in our lives. For the 10 men with leprosy from our sermon text this morning, God's answer to them was, "Yes, I'm going to grant your prayer, and I'm going to grant it to you right now." Jesus told those 10 men to go and show themselves to the priests in Jerusalem, to be declared clean men. And this sort of all clear was the only thing that could allow somebody with leprosy back into society and to give them their normal lives back. And as those 10 men walked, the miraculous happened. The impossible became a reality. Their wounds were healed, and every single other sign of leprosy disappeared. Just at Jesus' word, those 10 men were made entirely healthy. Those 10 men had begged, they had pleaded with Jesus to heal them as their last hope in an incredibly desperate situation. And Jesus had delivered in the absolutely best way possible for them. What sort of reaction do you think that you would have had if you would have been in their situation? If I were them, I think I would have felt a very sudden and exhaustive sense of relief and joy. These men could return to their families. They could return to their friends. They could go back to work and start making a living again. They could be part of society. If something this fantastic had happened to you, what sort of reaction would you have? And it goes back to those two phrases that I mentioned earlier, please and thank you. If you had asked somebody to do a miracle for you, if you had asked them to do the impossible, and they had actually come through and they had delivered, who wouldn't go back and tell them thank you? Who wouldn't go back and give them a hug and say, thank you for saving my life? Now, of those 10 men that day who were healed by Jesus, only one of them came back. Just one. Sure, Jesus had commanded them to go show themselves to the priest. He had said, go to Jerusalem. But there was only one of them that as he was going and as he saw he was healed, he said, God has truly done something wonderful in my life. The temple can wait. I have to go back and say thank you first. Think of your life. Which of those men do you think you are? Now, all of us want to be the one man that came back and actually thanked Jesus for what God had done for them. However, we know that more often we are one of the nine who didn't come back. But often we don't come back and thank him. More often we complain about the things that God puts in our lives, especially when they're difficult things. We don't thank him for all the blessings, the many, many blessings, both physical and spiritual, that he puts into our lives. The greater point is that we often know very well how to say please, but we don't know how to say thank you. That one Samaritan who came back and gave glory to God and thanked Jesus returned because the most important thing in his life wasn't getting back to work, it wasn't getting back to his family, it wasn't returning to his friends. The most important thing was thanking the man who had given him his life back. Now consider all the wonderful things that God has put into your life. Family, friends, maybe a husband or a wife, material possessions. Now, also consider the terrible things that you never even know about, things that you never even see that God keeps away from you and he keeps out of your life. And above all these things, we know that the greatest thing that God gives us is the forgiveness of our sins. God has taken our sins, which is the greatest problem that any of us could ever have, and he has taken them away forever because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. The Old Testament book of Lamentations talks about this when in chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And how can we not be thankful? How great is our God and our Savior who chose to love us first. So please and thank you. Your two phrases that are easy to remember, but they're also easy to forget. May all of us remember to say please and to say thank you in our daily walk with God. Know that God, our maker and creator, the one who created the entire universe, everything in it, is able to, and he wants to put the best things in your life. Know that you can ask God for anything. You can ask him for everything. And that if it is his will, if he believes it is right for your life, he will give it to you. No matter what God gives you, though, may his great love for us move us to return and give thanks to him. And know that even the difficult things, things like heartbreak, like pain, like frustration, sadness, and loneliness, every other bad thing in this life, that they all work together for the good of God's children. And because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we know that there will one day be a time where all that sadness and all that pain will finally come to an end. And above all other things, may we thank our God for giving heaven to us as a free gift. Heaven, where we will only know happiness, peace, and joy because of what our Savior has done for us. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.